Okay. a little bit later in the program. Oh, I'm going to take two corporate Democrats to the woodshed. You don't want to miss that. Oh, no, you don't. There might or might not be sphincter discussions. We'll have to save that for a little bit later in the program, obviously. Okay, and I really hope I can get to the Russians today. And then one of the most amazing, wonderful young protests in Russia, not just as it relates to our politics, but as it relates to their politics. Okay, and then we're going to go to Britain in the second hour, and one of the most absurd articles I've ever seen about foreign leaders, or of course, in their case, their leaders. I can't believe they wrote the article. I can't believe it. I can't believe it's 2017 and they wrote that article. Okay, we will share that with you in the second hour, among other amazing stories. Oh, the man who injected the buttocks with cement. Whatever happened to him? You remember that guy? The one who would put caulk?
Oh, yeah, caulk.
Caulk into the buttocks to enhance the female, and I assume from time to time the male buttocks, whatever became of him. By the way, note of caution, don't do that. Okay, also, on a serious note, in the second hour, ISIS began raiding Latina and Latinos' houses that are not undocumented, and they shot one of them. Oops. Okay, so that has begun. All right, having said that, let's start on a slightly lighter note with Donald Trump. Okay, Donald Trump on another Twitter rant in the middle of the night, so you know this is going to be good. First thing he's doing is, this is what he does at night. He blames everyone. He gets all upset and riled up, and he's like, they're saying that healthcare failed because of me. Yeah, you're the president. Of course you had something to do with it. You came in guns blazing, I'm getting rid of Obamacare. You're going to get better coverage. You're going to be cheaper. I'm the best, right? So when you don't do the, I'm the art of the deal, dude. So when you don't do the deal and you don't deliver, of course they're going to say it's your fault. God, man, he is the opposite of Truman in this sense. You know, Truman said the buck stops here at the Oval Office, at the presidency. He's like, the buck stops over there, not me, not me. Democrats, the Martians, whoever, I don't know, but not me. Okay, so now he's going to go on a rant about the Russians that I think is actually more important. But first, a little bit of fun on the deflection. Said, Democrats will make a deal with me on the healthcare as soon as Obamacare folds. Not long. Do not worry. We are in very good shape. By very good shape, if he means complete and utter failure, well, then I agree. He's, come on, guys. Come on. He's so stupid. He's so dumb. Like, he really thinks that Obamacare is a thing that can all of a sudden fold. What does that mean? No, it's. The Affordable Care Act is a series of laws that are applied in many different ways. There's Medicaid expansion in some states, the pre-existing, I mean, there's a million aspects to it. It doesn't just overnight go, oh no, that's it, Trump was right, Obamacare is done, it folded. Okay, and then the Democrats go, oh God, God damn it, you were right, Trumpy. Ah, you got us again, Donnie boy. Okay, well fine, well let's negotiate. Of course they're not gonna do that. They like Obamacare. Why would they come and negotiate with you on how to destroy it? In fact, Bernie Sanders and some others in the Senate and the House have proposed Medicare for All, which would be much more expansive, right? Okay, all right, so that's that. Then he says, the Republican House Freedom Caucus was able to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory after so many bad years, they were ready for a win. I'm surprised he didn't add sad at the end of that one. Okay, in other words, not me, not me. It's just Freedom Caucus, some bitches Freedom Caucus. Next time. All right. So now, what he's really upset about is the Russians and how he's being investigated. He don't want that investigation. So here comes the mad tweets on that. Why isn't the House Intelligence Committee looking into Bill and Hillary deal that allowed big uranium to go to Russia? Russian speech money to Bill? The Hillary-Russian reset praise of Russia by Hillary? Or Podesta, Russian company? Trump, Russia, story's a hoax. Hashtag MAGA, exclamation point. Podesta, Russia, Bill, Russia, Hillary, Russia, not me, not me. Don't look into it. Oh, please, I'm begging you, don't look at it. I mean, what's no big deal? You can, but Hillary, Podesta. Hey, Donald, I don't know if you know this. They're long gone. Right or wrong, they're in the dustbin of history. Look, you could be proud that you helped to put them there. I think they put themselves there, but that's not a relevant story. I mean, look, I was one of the guys who most insistently covered the uranium story as it regards to the Clinton Foundation in Russia. And if she was president, I'd be all over it. But right now, she's in the middle of the woods. Okay, she's got no power at all. John Podesta, who are we talking about? I mean, he could have had a huge role in the Hillary Clinton presidency. We don't have a Hillary Clinton presidency. Guess who's president, Donnie boy? You. And they're investigating you for all of your different connections to Russia. So you go, Podesta, isn't really going to help. But he can't help himself because he's a child. And every time he got in trouble, he'd say, Daddy, it wasn't me, Daddy. It wasn't me. It was the Podesta. Okay. All right, we move forward. This might sound like a fun story, but it isn't. And I'm going to show you why here. Okay. So Bill O'Reilly goes on Fox and Friends, and one of the most shocking aspects of the story is that one of them actually made sense. It was not Bill O'Reilly. They were talking about Maxine Waters. I love the way that Maxine Waters turned this whole idea around about how we're more American, not you. You guys don't believe in the Constitution. I've said this 1,000 times. Conservatives like an authoritarian form of government. They don't like democracy. There's so many parts of our Constitution they just simply don't believe in. Anyway, so she's talking about policy. Listen to what Bill O'Reilly's going to say instead. Watch.
We stand up for America oftentimes when others who think they are more patriotic, who say they are more patriotic, do not. When we fight against this president and we point out how dangerous he is for this society and for this country, we're fighting for the democracy. We're fighting for America. We're saying to those who say they're patriotic, but they turned a blind eye to the destruction that he's about to cause this country, you're not nearly as patriotic as we are.
So what does that mean, Bill? We've been listening all morning. We cannot.
I didn't hear a word she said. I was looking at the James Brown wig.
if we have a picture of James, it's the same.
It's the same one. Right.
No, and okay. He's not using it anymore.
You're all wrong.
I have to defend her on that. You can't go after a woman's looks. I think she's very attractive.
But I didn't say she wasn't attractive. I love James Brown. But it's the same hair James Brown, or the godfather of soul, had.
So he had girl hair.
Whatever it is, I just couldn't get by.
So what does that mean that they're more patriotic? That's crazy. They're not even white. How's that possible? Hey, let's talk about her hair. That's really funny. Now, credit to Ainsley Earhart there, who actually was a rare voice of reason, maybe a unique voice of reason ever in Fox and Friends history. But of course, Kilmeade, and they're like, yeah, that's right, him with the empty eyes. Anyway, by the way, later in the conversation, Kilmeade said, oh yeah, about James Brown, they just finally buried him. James Brown passed away in 2006. Just random, total non-factual things in the middle of Fox and Friends, as they do. Okay.
I think he's making fun of what the debacle that happened. I think it was James Brown. Is it him or Red Fox? Can't remember. But there was a big dispute over something before they could bury him. And then so it was actually a really bad situation where it took a while, longer than normal time frame, to bury him because of disputes over whatever was going on with his estate or something. But it was really sad. So actually then evoke the drama that went around his death is even more distasteful.
Yeah. So now, if you're thinking, hey, look, this wig thing is, I mean, it's a stupid joke, but it's not that big a deal. No, you got, look, there's a certain way that they treat African Americans and specifically African American women. Now, I know if you haven't seen it with your own eyes, you're going to go, oh, come on, Cenk, it's just a stupid wig joke. That's not true. Okay, so hear me out now. In fact, I want you to hear conservative commentators out. So on the same legislator, Maxine Waters, US Congresswoman. Now let's go back to 2012 and look at Eric Bolling and what he said about her on Fox News.
How's this, the Congresswoman?
You saw what happened to Whitney Houston. Step away from the crack pipe. Step away from the Xanax. Step away from the Lorazepam because it's going to get you in trouble. How else do you explain those kinds?
Oh, man.
Of course, how else do you explain an African-American legislator but references the crack pipes and James Brown wigs? And if you're saying, no way, man, this is all great, man. It's just a wild coincidence that she happens to be black and they're talking about crack pipes and James Brown wigs. And that's nothing wrong with that at all. You know who doesn't agree with you? Bill O'Reilly, because he just apologized. He said, as I've said many times, I respect Congresswoman Maxine Waters for being sincere in her beliefs. I said that again today on Fox and Friends, calling her, quote, old school. Unfortunately, I also made a jest about her hair, which was dumb. I apologize. So very good for Bill O'Reilly apologizing. I appreciate that. I think a lot of people do. And you know, I wish they would focus on what she was actually saying. But of course, they don't want to do that because she's very right about how progressives represent real American values, and conservatives don't, and often run from those values. Now, if you're thinking, well, I mean, it's just a one-off. They really don't like Maxine Waters. No. Now, I'm going to show you a couple of clips here. First, we're going to show you Alex Jones on Michelle Obama. So notice the consistent theme, African-American women aren't really women. And this is a trope from a long time ago. And no matter how much you say racism is in the past, it keeps popping its head back up. Listen to his long diatribe about how she's actually a man. Watch.
Now, let me go ahead and show you this. This is the two ladies. And we've had doctors on about this. Her shoulders are too wide. She's on like the 100th percentile of women, okay, with her body type. Her arms, everything. She always has this pooch. Like she's wearing either a codpiece or has genitalia. Okay? Now, she looks like a man. Like, dude looks like a lady. Lady looks like a dude. And this is a funny cartoonist, Ben Garrison, who they're always calling racist and bad. And I mean, I'm sorry, it's true. It's a giant viral video phenomenon for like 8 years that she's a man. All I know is Obama was raised by a tranny in Indonesia. They're into all sorts of stuff. Mainline liberal sites think she's a man. Okay? You know, there's all those videos where Obama keeps calling, well, Michael here, I mean, Michelle. Hey, Michael, I mean, Michelle, come on over here. This is like some weird cult or something. I think Michelle Obama is a man. I really do. I really do. I believe it.
Apologize for it later. Okay, so and our president listens to that madman. But look, all these conservatives for all these years, and by that I don't mean every one of you guys out there. You probably, a lot of you have no idea that this old racist trope has been around for centuries. But it has. And a lot of these commentators come out here and make these things, say these things over and over and over again about almost every African-American woman. Things, I mean, we're talking about eugenics now with, oh, she's in 100% of her body type. I don't know what that means. Her shoulders are too wide. Too wide by what margin? By whose standards? We've had doctors on here. Really? Really? You had doctors on InfoWars? Boy, those must be class acts. But he's been studying it and she's got genitalia. Well, he's such an idiot, doesn't even know what he's saying. No, it's true, it's true. Why, Alex? It's a viral phenomenon. People have been talking about it, even mainline liberal websites. Really? Which ones? But they put this out there because they're questioning their humanity. Look, I've got the results of that in a second, but go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, so it's why part of, I mean, the apology from Bill O'Reilly is a simple sweeping. It was dumb. So there's something where he says negative about himself. Like, it was dumb, so it's okay, right? I don't accept apologies unless you understand what it is you did and how it affects. You have this large audience. How it affects the thought processes of many of people in the country. So, I mean, there's a video you may be getting to, but then Trump supporters out. They repeat the same things that Alex Jones did. We'll probably get to it. But when you don't understand what you've done or you don't care to explain why you're wrong, you haven't done anything. All you've done is said, I'm sorry. And your supporters go, oh, yeah, they forced him to apologize. Those strong-arm liberals again. They keep controlling our strong leaders like Bill O'Reilly and Sean Hannity. So it doesn't really get to the problem. It continues to perpetuate the same thing we had. We did the studies about how kids, black kids, are considered older than they are. So then police can beat their ass more. Or then we've seen how police actually go after women a lot of times. And we go, how are they going to snatch this girl at the Texas party around like this, and then a grown woman around like this. They don't see them as women or maybe someone who isn't going to attack them, just someone who's stronger than them, who's more aggressive than them, who's a beast. And this is perpetuating that. Until he understands that, I don't accept his damn apology.
Yeah, and all of it leading to, you might be wondering why? Why'd they even come up with this hundreds of years ago? And why does this still persist today? Because the black person is dangerous. So if it's a young African-American boy, no, he's older than he appears. No, he's taller than he appears. These are all studies, even to this day. And it's so widespread that it gets into everybody's heads. Even African-Americans sometimes identify African-American kids as older or taller. Now they don't, when they continue the studies, they don't discriminate against them because of that. Unfortunately, white people then say, on average, they're more dangerous. And so if you're not feminine, you're masculine, you're more dangerous. So, and you think, well, maybe I'm not gonna act that way. Okay, I hear you and I hope you're right about that. And I think that most people don't. But do some people act based on that? Of course. Are some of them in authority? Yes. Are some of them your neighbors? Yes. So here's Eric Beiler, producer for the Young Turks. During the campaign, he was talking to a Trump supporter. He was asking about Michelle Bachmann. This guy starts going on a rant on Michelle Obama. So that's where we pick it up here. Let's watch.
I don't believe in her. I don't believe Michelle. I think Michelle is dishonest, just like her old man is dishonest. And I don't even believe Michelle's a woman. I believe she's a man.
Michelle Bachmann?
Yes. Not Bachmann. You said Michelle Obama.
You don't think Michelle Obama is female?
I believe she's a man.
She had two daughters.
They're adopted.
But they look just like them.
They take, when you get adopted, they try to make you look like the person that you're being adopted.
They live among us, man. And so what I try to get you guys to do is sometimes just think about it. What if the shoe's on the other foot, right? So what if there was millions of people in the country who had insane theories on who you are and what you're all about, and they're completely wrong, but they're threatened by you, and they're on their guard about you. And I'm not just talking about Michelle Obama. You know, that extends to what they think about African-American women overall, what they think about African-Americans overall. There's millions of guys out there like that. Oh, no, 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 yeah, of course, she's a man, yeah. Oh, they're adoption, they made him look like that. Of course, obviously, how could you not know that? So if you don't think it, it doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. A lot of people do think it. Where did they get it from? They got it from the Alex Jones and the Bill O'Reillys of the world. So for God's sake, we have got to get past it. But the way to get past it is not to ignore it, but to point it out and make sure it doesn't happen again. Okay.
Imagine that guy on the jury. These are the jury of your peers, that guy in the last video. So it trickles down to this thought process where they can end up deciding people's fates, which they've been doing since the beginning of our country. They decide people's fates based off of the lies they're told by people they believe are telling them the truth. Last thing, Carl Paladino, who ran for governor in New York after the Obamas were done and the term was up, he's talking about Michelle Obama, what he's looking most forward to. I'd like her to return to being a male and let loose in the outback of Zimbabwe, where she lives comfortably in a cave with Maxie the gorilla. He ran for governor of New York. New York State, you know, that big liberal bastion where all these assholes live. And he also went on to say, there's nothing to do with race. It's about two progressive elitist ingrates who've hated their country so badly and destroyed its fabric in so many respects for 8 years. Has nothing to do with race. It's just a guy talking about a couple of people, a couple of politicians, or a politician and his wife, how much he hates them because they've destroyed the country. If you don't understand how racism exists, it doesn't have to be in the forefront of your brain going, yeah, those are black people, I hate them. It's just, it's so ingrained in you, you don't realize everything you think about black folks is related to animals and danger and must be destroyed. He went on to talk about how he wants Obama dead and Valerie Jarrett buried next to him. All it is death. Get them away from me. Get them off my planet because they don't deserve to live. These are the people you're supporting. And Bill O'Reilly's one of them. Remember how crazed he was? He went to Harlem. Oh my God, they didn't say MF or bring me some iced tea. He was surprised because that's his normal thought process.
That was
I don't
O'Reilly.
Accept your damn apology.
Yeah, because O'Reilly expected that when he went to Harlem and he'd gone there with Al Sharpton on that one time, He thought they're going to be savages, but they didn't yell mother effer in the middle of the restaurant at all times. And he was genuinely shocked by that and thought he was complimenting them by saying, wow, they have lunch like civilized people. Look at the mindset, and you still think it's not racial. And maybe it's because you think that because it's not racial for you. But it is racial for a lot of people. And to JR's point about New York, you think, oh, it's only in the South, it's only in pockets of racism, but I don't live there. No, O'Reilly's from New York, Palladino's from New York, Donald Trump is from New York. And look at what Donald Trump did with the Central Park Five. He said, oh, they've got to get executed, they got to get the death penalty. It turns out they were innocent. They're proven innocent. Many years later, decades later, Donald Trump still says, no, I don't care that they were proven innocent. I still think they should be in jail. Why? Five black guys. I mean, come on. But it turns out it wasn't the five black guys who did it. It doesn't matter who did it. The black guys are guilty under all circumstances. If you think it's not out there, you're kidding yourself. Unfortunately, it is so prevalent in society. And you hiding from it or running from it doesn't help at all. All right. Now let's move on. We're going to stay on Fox News, but on a completely different note. Financial Times with a really interesting breaking news story about Fox News and what kind of legal trouble they might be in. It turns out that they've got a former executive who's now cooperating with the authorities on an investigation they're running on Fox News. Damn. So let me give you the details here. The former chief financial officer, that is a big executive, the CFO of Rupert Murdoch's Fox News channel, has been offered immunity from prosecution by government lawyers investigating payments to women allegedly harassed by Roger Ailes, the network's former chairman, according to people briefed on the case. So, look, when they start getting witnesses to flip, that means they're close and they're closing in. They're not going to offer immunity unless they're looking for a significant issue and a significant crime, and they're looking for a bigger target. So, more from the Financial Times. The full scope of the government probe is unclear, but authorities are looking into whether Fox News allegedly misled investors by concealing multiple financial settlements with former employees. Uh-oh. Now you're supposed to let your investors know what your all the things that are material to that company and to that stock, including significant liabilities like sexual harassment lawsuits that might happen, that have already happened and have been paid off, and how they might be the tip of the iceberg. There might be further liability down the road. You can't hide that from your investors, the people who, the shareholders who actually own the company. That's illegal. So more here. One of them, one of the women who was sexually harassed, was Lori Loon, a former Fox News guest booker, who revealed last year that she had received a $3.1 million settlement in 2011 related to allegations that Mr. Ailes had sexually harassed her. Look, we did the details of that story in another instance, and sexual harassment is terrible and despicable. What happened to Lori Loon is at least that and far, far more. He actually wound up sleeping with her and intimidating her and just following her throughout her career in terms of continual intimidation into sexual acts that she did not want to do. It was absolutely gross what Roger Ailes did to Lori Loon. And they know it. That's why they paid her $3.1 million. They try to make the case go away. Now, if you do that legally and you say, okay, here was a case, we settled it, and it's in the papers here, that's fine. Okay? Now, it's not fine that you did it in the first place, but it's fine in terms of reporting. But they didn't report it, apparently. That is not fine, and that is not legal. So finally, Financial Times says the Loon payment was not disclosed to 21st Century Fox investors, and federal prosecutors have offered Mr. Krantz, that's the chief financial officer, and at least one other former executive immunity from prosecution in return for their cooperation, people briefed on the case said. Now, this was, by the way, one of the cases that Preet Bharara might have been looking into when he was summarily fired by Donald Trump. That was the person working on this case in New York, and all of a sudden all the U.S. attorneys were let go of immediately without further planning, without having their replacements ready. And what precipitated that? A segment on Sean Hannity's show on Fox News where he said Donald Trump should immediately purge all of those U.S. attorneys that were left over by Obama. He should do it right now. We showed you that clip on an earlier show as well. And all of a sudden, Trump, as usual, watches Fox News, responds, and immediately purges all those prosecutors. But that case remains. So we'll see what they do with it. We'll see if they wind up trying to bury the case. But for the moment being, that case apparently still in pending and in significant investigations. And now with immunity deals, they might be close to a resolution on that case. And if Fox News broke the law, it'll be interesting to see what kind of piper they pay. And that's been a long time coming. All right, we're going to take a quick break here, guys. When we come back, the establishment Democrats, at least two of them now on the record, saying, nah, filibuster, Gorsuch, no. Let's just give the Republicans what they want. Oh, well, the reckoning is on its way. Come right back. All right, back on the Young Turks. Emma writes in that black women are animals or seen as sex objects still permeates in our culture today through music and even politics, etc. You're very right about that. Look, I didn't want to get too deep into it because it's really upsetting, but oh yeah, they're just like men. All right, I hesitate in even saying it. Gee, I wonder why there was all those mixed race kids around back in the day. White people in the South seem to find them perfectly attractive. Well, but no, black people are the violent ones. That will never cease to amaze me and disgust me that after brutalizing these folks for hundreds of years, enslaving them and doing all the things that happened, they then turn around immediately and say, they're the savages, they're the violent ones. All right, I got to let it go, otherwise I'm going to rage about it for another hour. All right, Mugatu says, I would say who gives a shit what stupid theories Alex Jones comes up with if Trump didn't actually listen to him. Exactly. If you've noticed, we've been covering Jones more on the show. We've only covered him once or twice before that, just for, you know, shits and giggles, honestly. But now, amazingly, in this insane world, he's relevant. Okay, so if our madman president is listening to this moron, this absolute lunatic, then we got to expose that. Okay, and one comment from the super chat. That's on youtube.com/TYT. Nikui Eastman says, go Turks, go. Well, I appreciate that. Thank you, Nikui. Now, donors for the journalism campaign, which is almost up, only about a month left, or if we get to 2 million first. $15 from Richard in Tennessee, $35 from Michael in Colorado, and $50 from Renato in Illinois. And I know some folks are buying the cameras now. We named them after you guys. Jordan's camera and Nomi's camera are gone. I think we still have some, I know we have some cameras in here still, and I think somebody's about to take the desk. So the desk is 10K, but the cameras and the chairs are 5K. Obviously, what we're doing is we're putting your name on it. Thank you, Jesus, tytnetwork.com/go. And everybody who comes in here gets to see your name on these. The camera I'm looking at is still after 4 years now, the Brian Weissman camera, and that is because Brian donated to build this studio, as many of you did, and you're on the cameras and the chairs. Okay, let's keep it going. Well, Trump surrogates seem to have some sort of fascination with blaming Obama for things that are not remotely his fault. I know that's generally a Republican trend, but in order to defend Trump, they've got to go to extreme lengths here and make up things and twist time itself. So in this case, we're going to go to Kaylee McEnany on how something was President Obama's fault. Let's check that out.
I mean, you've tweeted about.
And I'll tell you why. Because when President Bush took time off from the golf course in honor of the Iraq War, you had President Obama who after the, I believe it was the beheading of Daniel Pearl, spoke to how upset he was about that, then rushed off to a golf game. I think when we're in a state of war, when we're in a state of mourning, you should take time off from the golf course.
Some of the other guests look confused because Daniel Pearl was killed in 2002 when Barack Obama was an Illinois state senator. pretty sure he didn't have anything to do with those decisions. I don't know if you know this, Obama became president in 2008, 6 years later, actually took office in 2009. So, by the way, if we're talking about golf and how you really ought to care about terrorist acts and not play golf afterwards, you're going to make me play this clip. Watch.
We must stop the terror. I call upon all nations to do everything they can to stop these terrorist killers.
Thank you.
Now watch this drive.
All right, we need another.
Oops. All right, Kaylee had her own oops, realized, oops, I'm talking about the wrong person. She apologized. She said, I apologize for using the wrong name. Both James Foley and Daniel Pearl lost their lives to terrorism and should be honored by our leaders. She was referring to James Foley, who was kidnapped in 2012 and found or beheaded in 2014. That was under Obama's term. And look, she's on live TV. They got the names mixed up. If it was an isolated case, you'd say, all right, it's a rare case. But you know how it is. Everything is not Trump's fault, somebody else's fault. And how long have Republicans been saying, thanks, Obama? In fact, when Trump got in trouble about Captain Khan, who had been killed in combat, and Trump was yelling at his dad, who appeared at the DNC, you remember Katrina Pearson came out and said this.
Considering how Donald Trump never voted for the Iraq war, Hillary Clinton did. And then she didn't support the troops to have what they need. It was under Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton that changed the rules of engagements that probably cost his life. So I don't understand why it's so hard to understand why Donald Trump was confused about why he was being held responsible for something he had nothing to do with.
Well, speaking of confused, again, that was in 2004. Barack Obama, still an Illinois state senator, still not president, still had nothing to do with that, no matter how much you guys keep wanting to blame him. Now, to be fair to Katrina Pearson, she did all those mad rants on television to try to get the job as press secretary. Oh, right, how'd that turn out? Another oops. She claims to us on Twitter that, no, she's doing fine. She wanted that much lower level position that she's currently in that no one knows what it is. But she's super happy about it, and she doesn't know why we're criticizing her. And once she takes that hot Trump time machine back, she's going to be press secretary, and then we're going to see. Okay. All right, now let's move on from this. You know what? Drop it. We haven't gone Django Unchained in a while. Let's have some fun. Okay, now I reserve this for two corporate establishment Democrats who've decided, yeah, I know the Republicans blocked Merrick Garland for about a year, but we should be nice to the Republicans and give them the nominee that they want and not block him at all. Really? The Democrats cowering in front of Republicans. I've never seen that before. All right, so let's go to the concession stand. And first we find Heidi Heitkamp there. She's from North Dakota. She says, as I said last year when Judge Garland was nominated and reiterated again when Judge Gorsuch was nominated, the US Senate should have an up or down vote on any Supreme Court nominee as part of fulfilling our constitutional duty of providing advice and consent on nominees to the Supreme Court. They always make it sound so reasonable, like, oh, I've been so consistent. But have the Republicans been consistent? And when they blocked Merrick Garland, did you insist that they not be hypocritical? Did they follow the Constitution? No, you guys kind of just dropped it. Nah, no big deal. Okay, and now that you have the ability to block their judge, oh, well, you know, I just want to be a nice guy. They weren't nice to us, that's true. They did not fulfill their constitutional duties. But instead of two can play at that game, and hey, if you're going to block our nominee for a year, we should block your nominee for a year. It's a, no, I'm just going to, oh, golly gee, I'm going to be consistent. Go ahead, put anyone in. But hey, Senator Heitkamp, if you do that, maybe you're encouraging the Republicans to break the rules every time, and that whenever you have a president, you're not going to get your Supreme Court nominee, and they're going to say, it doesn't matter. All those right-wing Democrats are going to vote with us no matter what we do. We can spit in their face. We can slap them across the face. We can deny them their nominee for a whole year, and they'll come back smiling. Okay, you get your nominee anyway. She went on to say, it's my duty to fully consider any Supreme Court nominee, regardless of which party's in the White House. Such a role should be above politics. Well, it wasn't above politics when the Republicans did it. So don't pretend you're above politics. Here's what Senator Heitkamp is doing, playing politics. Because Donald Trump won her home state, so now she's incredibly scared. Because all these establishment Democrats act out of incredible fear and cowardice. Plus, their donors love Gorsuch. He loves Citizens United. He's more pro-corporate than even the most pro-corporate Supreme Court in United States history. That's the current one. And Gorsuch is way more corporate than they are. And so the donors on the Democratic side are like, oh, Gorsuch, oh, twist our arm. Oh, did they get another pro-corporate Supreme Court nominee? Go ahead, Heidi, go ahead. Oh, I'm above politics. I didn't look at the polling in North Dakota at all before I made this decision. I didn't talk to my corporate donors at all. Golly gee, I'm above politics. My ass, you're above politics. And soon when we primary, you'll be below politics. Okay, so now I'm going to go to Joe Manchin. And by the way, if you think that these people aren't getting primaries, you don't understand a thing about politics. We're going to primary the hell out of these people. When I say we, I mean, of course, progressives at large. If the Justice Democrats didn't do it, somebody else would. If they didn't, they would be negligent not to primary these people. So yes, JusticeDemocrats.com. Heidi Heitkamp, how you doing? Aloha also means goodbye. Okay, I know that's Hawaii, doesn't matter. Joe Manchin from West Virginia. Oh, we got a primary coming your way too. Now listen to this guy, excusing all the things that the Republicans have done and smiling and telling them, go ahead, I'm for open for business. Go ahead, Joe.
In the past, you said you would not filibuster or join a filibuster. Is that still your view?
Yeah, I mean, we should have an up or down vote. And that's just my belief. And when it gets to this, unless you have strong opposition, we've got to find a way to preserve the Senate. The Senate basically started coming apart when Harry Reid did the nuclear option, which put a 51 vote threshold. That's not what the founding fathers decided for this body.
Are you afraid, Senator, that the Republicans are going to do that very same thing?
Well, I would be concerned that if they don't get a cloture vote, that could happen. They're going to say, listen, you all did it on all the federal judges. We're going to do it for Supreme Court, too. How do you preserve the input that the minority should have? Because what goes around comes around. And that's what we're doing now. The Democrats were in control, and they took care of the nuclear option, which they should have never done. I'm the only one still in the Senate on the Democrat side that voted against what Harry wanted to do. I thought it was wrong.
That sure sounds like you don't want to join a filibuster, Senator.
Yeah, I'm not a big filibuster guy to begin with.
Golly gee, I'll let the Republicans do anything to me. So now, this guy's a theoretical Democrat. Let me explain what he was saying there. During the Obama years, the Republicans broke the record on obstruction. That's literal. They broke the number of filibusters. I think they doubled or tripled the number of filibusters that was the previous record. So they blocked everything they could. So finally, near the end, because Democrats are idiots, they waited 6 years, right before they lost their majority in their infinite stupidity. They waited. They let them block everything. Did Joe Manchin complain about that? No, that's his Republican buddies. He loves it when they block stuff. So then finally at the end, Harry Reid and the Democrats took away the filibuster for everything but the Supreme Court when it comes to other nominees. So Manchin says, oh, you see that? It's Harry Reid's fault. It's the Democrats' fault. Which party are you in? Why did you not mention the context of the Republicans' record-breaking obstructionism? You didn't mention that because you work for them. You think having this Democrat, so-called Democrat, is helpful when he comes out there and he gives Republicans bipartisan cover to go, you see that? I'm a Democrat and I agree the Republicans are awesome. It's all the Democrats' fault. They shouldn't have done that earlier. So now when they say, all right, look, they preserve the filibuster in the case of the Supreme Court, and the Republicans have been saying all along how important that is, especially when they were in the minority. What do you think about that now? He says, well, I mean, golly gee, I wouldn't want to force the Republicans to take it away. And so we have to preserve our rights in the minority. Well, if you promise you're never going to filibuster, as you seem to indicate there, what rights do you have? If you say, oh, I don't want them to take away the filibuster, hence I won't ever filibuster, then guess what, Joe? You don't have that right. What are you preserving it for? At least let them do the things that are going to look so bad to the rest of the public, to run over the minority, to get, if they're going to get Gorsuch, they should have to run over you. But no, you're going to open the door for them. I'm not done yet, or he's not done yet. Look, he's got more.
Now, I don't expect as a Democrat that he's going to appease a lot of Democrats because of his philosophical beliefs. But guess what? The Democrats, we didn't win the presidential election. So you don't expect to get a center left. Is he too far right or center right? I think they understand they're going to get center right. Is he too far right? Well, he's replacing Antonin Scalia, who was very, very conservative. So you can look at it and evaluate it well. Is he more non-traditional or more conservative than Antonin Scalia? If he fits in the same wheelhouse, then you can justify saying that kind of fits the same parameter as who he's replacing.
Well, it sure sounds like it to me from that description, Senator, that you're ready to vote yes.
Let's just say I'm a very open-minded person.
Well, there are things that are open about Joe Manchin. Let's just be polite saying he's open for business, okay? I haven't seen a Republican deliver Republican talking points as well as so-called Democrat Joe Manchin. God, he could not help them anymore. Well, he certainly couldn't help them more if he was a Republican, because he's going to vote with them. And he gets to go on media here and go, oh yeah, oh no, the Republicans are totally right. The Democrats are losers, idiots. It's all their fault. I mean, look, he's just like Antonin Scalia. Here's a Democratic senator saying, no, no, it's okay. He's just like Antonin Scalia. Okay, and furthermore, Gorsuch is considered more conservative than Antonin Scalia, who might be the most conservative justice we've ever had. And what does Manchin say? He's center right. Just center right. I mean, you can't do Republican talking points better than that. They're embarrassed to say he's center right because they know how far right he is. They know how extreme right he is. But here's Joe Manchin, theoretically a Democrat. Oh, center right. I mean, what are you going to do? He fits that. And he says, we didn't win. But the Republicans didn't win against Obama, but they blocked his nominee for close to a year. Well, they didn't win, Obama won. Where were you then, Joe Manchin? Where were you then? Sitting on your ass, talking about how, oh no, the Democrats shouldn't have done this, the Democrats shouldn't have done that. Okay, he says now that he's all, you know, gung-ho, he loves fighting Democrats. When it comes to Republicans, he cowers. Oh my God, okay, you guys are right. What do you need? Well, I have the same exact donors as you. Agreed. Here's your Gorsuch corporate nominee, here you go, right? But when it comes to Democrats, he says he's not looking forward to a primary. Be careful what you wish for, son, because you're gonna get one. JusticeDemocrats.com. We're gonna find a great actual citizen of West Virginia and of North Dakota, and we're gonna come for these guys because they do not help. They are not progressive at all. So you can call yourself a Democrat and then go do exactly what the Republicans want. That does not help progressive causes. That helps Republicans because they can turn around and go, oh, Joe Manchin and Heidi Heitkamp. You see that? The reasonable Democrats did exactly as we paid them to do. They bowed their heads and then they pretend that they're strong. You haven't seen strong yet. You'll see it soon though. We'll see you in the primaries. JusticeDemocrats.com. Back on the Young Turks. Let me read some tweets. Tensai Badger says, Obama's responsible for all bad things before, during, and after his presidency. The good things were someone else, because reasons. Sasha Ray says, why can't Senator Heitkamp and Senator Joe Manchin be consistent with their beliefs and just switch to the GOP already? Be sincere for once. Everybody always says, oh no, they have a better chance of winning in these more red states because they're corporate Democrats. Yeah, because they love corporate sellouts in West Virginia and North Dakota. They can't get enough of them. They're like, oh man, I wish somebody would rob me blind today. Yeah, that's going to work. Okay, donors to the journalism campaign, $15 from William in Florida, $50 from Aho Nukalani from Hawaii. I tried my best. And $50 from Chris in Texas. Although I did use a Hawaii reference in the earlier segment. Okay, one quick thing I forgot to tell you guys. I just wanted to do a quick poll to see if you guys seem to agree with Manchin and Heitkamp. Maybe I got this one wrong. I'm curious what you, as the audience, think. Most of you are progressive. Let's find out. Let's go to trtnetwork.com/stand. Real quick, easy question. Should the Democrats filibuster Neil Gorsuch? Who knows? Maybe you guys agree with Joe Manchin. Maybe the Democrats and progressives are on Manchin's side, and I didn't even know it. So let's find out. Should the Democrats filibuster Neil Gorsuch? Go to trtnetwork.com/stand, and we'll find out. Okay, now let's go to Nunes. Okay. Well, we've got more drama and problems with House Intelligence Committee Chairman Devin Nunes. And by the way, it turns out that is how his name is pronounced. He's Portuguese. Okay, this time he has canceled hearings where we were going to hear from the former acting Attorney General Yates. Now, she was the deputy Attorney General under the Obama White House. And then when Trump came in, he made her acting Attorney General and then immediately fired her. The reason he fired her is because she did not want to enforce his illegal travel ban. Now the Trump administration has scrapped that plan because it was so wildly illegal they couldn't defend it in court, and they have to go with a new travel ban, which has also been blocked. Turns out, by the way, Yates was correct. It was wildly illegal, but it doesn't matter, got her fired anyway. Now, they were going to bring her in though to talk about Michael Flynn, because she had been investigating him and had warned the White House, hey, he might be a foreign agent, which it turns out he pretty much was. So now, that is one of the new problems for Devin Nunes. He is a Republican in charge of the Intelligence Committee, where you're supposed to find out if Trump actually had a deal with the Russians. In fact, that collusion or possible collusion is what they're investigating. But not only did he not allow Yates to testify, which I'm going to explain in more detail in a second, but he also apparently went to the White House and talked to folks on the White House grounds while doing an investigation of the White House. Oh God, Jesus Christ. Okay, so Adam Schiff, who is the ranking Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee, who has worked with Nunes for a number of years, has this to say. Excuse me. Sick. You guys know when I get sick, we have a lot of Marco Rubio moments. But in order to do the full Rubio, you got to reach in. Okay. So Adam Schiff said, I believe that the chairman should recuse himself from any further involvement in the Russia investigation, as well as any involvement and oversight of matters pertaining to any incidental collection of the Trump transition, as he was also a key member of the transition team. Now that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it, guys? If Nunes was part of the transition team, how is he going to conduct an independent investigation of the transition team? That's preposterous. Of course he shouldn't be involved in that investigation, let alone how he's bungled it so far, which then brings us back to Yates. So here's the Washington Post explaining. Yates and other former intelligence officials had been asked to testify before the House Intelligence Committee this week, a hearing that Chairman Devin Nunes abruptly canceled. Yates was the deputy attorney general in the final years of the Obama administration and served as the acting attorney general in the first days of the Trump administration. According to the letters the Post reviewed, the Justice Department notified Yates earlier this month that the administration considers a great deal of her possible testimony to be barred from discussion in a congressional hearing because the topics are covered by presidential communication privilege. Now, let's pause there to explain. So Yates has information about the Russian investigations because she was acting attorney general. She says to the Justice Department, I've been asked by the committee to testify about that. I only want to talk about stuff that's not classified. Am I allowed? The Justice Department, under new leadership, is like, I don't know about that. That could be communications with the president, and you might not be allowed to talk about any damn thing at all. That's not the law, but that appeared to be their intention. So Washington Post explains further. As acting attorney general, Yates played a key part in the investigation surrounding Michael T. Flynn, a Trump campaign aide who became national security advisor before revelations that he had discussed sanctions with the Russian ambassador to the United States in late December led to his ouster. Now, here comes more twists. Yates and another witness at the planned hearing, former CIA Director John Brennan, had made clear to the government officials by Thursday that their testimony to the committee probably would contradict some statements that White House officials had made. In fact, on Friday, when Yates' lawyer sent a letter to the White House indicating that she still wanted to testify, all of a sudden the hearing was canceled. So now Sean Spicer here, let me skip ahead actually to Sean Spicer, to Graphic 20. White House press secretary says, "Now to suggest in any way, shape or form that we stood in the way of that testimony is 100% false." Why does he say that, and what is the actual reality? Well, in this case, it turns out the Justice Department told Yates, "Hey, stand down. You know, the president has this privilege that might block you from testifying." And when that didn't stand up, she told the White House, "I'm going to go testify." And her lawyer said, "You got 24 hours to respond." The White House doesn't respond, but then Nunes, the guy who was on the Trump transition team, who's supposed to be leading the investigation, but is in fact working with Trump to block the investigation, turns around and goes, "Oh, your meeting's canceled. What a wild coincidence." No, and Spicer says, "I didn't do it. The White House didn't do it. We didn't cancel the meeting. Nunes did." What a wild coincidence. Oh, he was on the transition team? Oh, he's been passing that secret intelligence before he even gives it to the committee, to us, the people under investigation? Oh, what a coincidence. He happened to work for us again. Huh? We caught another lucky break. And then they asked Nunes about this. On Tuesday, Nunes declined to say if the White House had asked him to cancel the hearing. You know what that means? This guy's got empty eyes, man. Like, he's really not very bright at all. If you're doing a savvy cover-up, you don't tell people that you interviewed witnesses on White House grounds when you're investigating the White House, you schmuck. When they ask you, "Hey, did the White House order you to cancel the hearing?" If you're going to go and lie about it, you should say, "Oh no, of course not." Instead, he's like, "Oh, I can't answer that question." Oh yeah, yeah. That means they told you, you schmuck. Okay, here's his quote. "Look, you guys are just speculating. I'm sorry. Whenever there's time, we'll do a press conference." Yeah, you just admitted it, you schmuck. Like, when they asked you point blank, did the White House ask you to cancel the meeting? If you don't say, "No, of course not," and you go, I can't answer that right now. Do they have info on it? Did they break the story already? Yeah, Devin, they broke the story already. God, he's so dense. So yeah, of course they asked him, "Don't let Yates testify. Don't let her testify, Jesus Christ, if people find out what she knows. Remember, we fired her and we still can't get rid of her." To Nunes's credit, he said, when they asked him about, "Hey, didn't you just go to the White House and do this stuff right in front of Trump's eyes? Didn't you go tell him all this stuff without telling your own intelligence committee, without sharing it with the Democrats or the Republicans on your committee, the exact opposite of what you're supposed to do as an independent investigation?" He said, "Well, there was no sneaking around." So you know what that means? Well, I mean, I'm obviously working for Trump right in front of your eyes. Why can't you see it? It's so obvious. Well, we do see it. So very interesting to see what Yates will eventually say if she's ever allowed to testify. Okay, now I want to give you one last spin on that Nunes story. Let's go to the next graphic. So Devin Nunes is the head of the House Intelligence Committee, and now his ranking member, Adam Schiff, who's the top Democrat on the committee, is asking him to step down. Schumer's asking him to step down in the Senate, and he's saying, look, he's part of the transition team for Trump. The transition team for Trump is being investigated by this committee. He keeps telling Trump what they're finding out in secret proceedings when he's supposed to be investigating Trump. This is obvious. This guy cannot lead an independent investigation. And Nunes isn't helping at all because he keeps going around going, "Oh yeah, 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 I told Trump everything. Yeah, and then I went and did the investigation in the middle of the White House lawn. Yeah, I did that. There was no sneaking around." That's a literal quote. No sneaking around. I just did it right in front of everybody. Then he's going to go on Fox News here and again accidentally admit that he's doing a great job of covering up for Trump. Okay, let's watch together.
Adam Schiff, the ranking Democrat on the Intelligence Committee, he's not your friend. You know that, right? He's not your pal.
Well, look, I try to say nice things about people.
He wants you to quit the investigation. You're not going to do that.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that the Democrats do want me to quit because they know that I'm quite effective at getting to the bottom.
All right, well, let's hope so, Congressman.
Okay, let's figure out what Empty Eyes is saying. If you were effective at leading an independent investigation, then you would find out things about Donald Trump and his connections to the Russians, which the Democrats would be thrilled about. So the Democrats would want you to be effective, as you just said there. Now, why would they be against you? If you were effective at blocking their investigation, which is not your job. So you just accidentally admitted on TV like, oh yeah, Democrats want to get rid of me because I'm quite effective at blocking this independent investigation. I have empty eyes. Not much going on back here. Devin, you're not supposed to admit that. Not a bright guy. I mean, over and over again, here, one more clip back from March 23rd. Like, does anyone think he's not working for Trump?
Look, I think the bottom line here is that, President Trump, to some degree, is right that, he did end up in some intelligence reports, and I don't think he knew about it. He wasn't
right. But you just said he was
that.
Right. I'm just trying. What is he?
Well, he's
right about?
In terms of it does appear like his name and people and others ended up into intelligence reports. So, I mean, look, you can make what you want of it, but most people would say that is surveillance.
Jake Tapper has a quizzical look on his face because this is the guy who's supposed to be leading an independent investigation of Donald Trump, and he's like, "Well, look, man. First, I'm going to tell you classified information I shouldn't tell you." Later, many days from now, I will backpedal from it and say, no, Trump was not actually mentioned. But right now, I'm telling you, Donald Trump is right. Boy, I'm looking in this investigation, holding him accountable, and I count him totally correct. Look, if you're a Republican that likes to play dirty tricks, Nunes is actually not your guy. He's supposed to be more sophisticated. He's supposed to say in public, like, oh, this will be independent investigation. We will hold Donald Trump to account. And then go back behind the scenes and be like, oh, look at this. We could do, I get rid of this. I work over there and I'll interpret this in another way. And then you come out in public and you go, well, God, golly gee, man, we rolled up our sleeves and we really went after Trump. We put the screws to him. But it turns out, God damn, he is so clean. That's how politics has been played for a long time. But Empty Eyes Nunes can't figure that out. And he's like, I think Donald Trump's right. I went to the White House and told him so. Am I independent? I mean, I was on his transition team. But there's no sneaking around. I'm just telling everybody. Did I block Yates from testifying against him? Well, I don't know. Do you have evidence of that? Because I'm not going to deny it. Did the White House tell me? Donald Trump, Democrats want me to quit because I'm defending him. You're not supposed to admit that. This guy isn't helping anyone, including himself. People in his district, you really proud of this guy? I mean, even if you're a deep, hardcore Republican, aren't you kind of embarrassed at how he's bungling the cover up? Okay. MTI's Nunes. All right. Here we go. Next. I'm keep going. Let's go to Russia. Amazing protests in 90 different cities in Russia have broken out. Now, we're told by pollsters in Russia, if you can believe that, and it's not that the pollsters are bad guys, but it's that a lot of people are afraid to answer the pollsters, that Putin is very popular in Russia. And by the way, I don't doubt that when he took over Crimea, that was a very popular move domestically. It was not popular internationally, but a lot of nationalism, etc. And for a while, they were riding high on oil money. Now, because of the sanctions and lower oil prices, things are not going as well. So now, Putin, who was very popular and probably a little bit more or a little less popular than the polls indicated, all of a sudden, not so popular. And how things have turned. So let's look at here some of the facts around those Russian protests. There were at least 700 arrests linked to the protests, including that of leading Russian opposition figure Alexei Navalny, who was sentenced to 15 days in jail and fined. Oh God, I hope he's all right in jail. So now I'm going to tell you about the demonstrations, why they're happening, and why things have turned so quickly on Putin. Huffington Post explains, although the demonstrations were unexpectedly large, they had been planned for weeks, sparked by a viral investigative video that Navalny's Anti-Corruption Foundation released on March 2nd. The report alleged that Russia's Prime Minister Dmitry Medvedev had accumulated vast real estate holdings through bribery and graft. And Medvedev, now the current prime minister, used to be the former president, but basically just a puppet of Putin, has done pretty much everything that he's Putin has asked of him. So now let's give you color on that corruption. We go to the BBC. Unlike other opposition challengers, when we're talking about Navalny now, his cause is not democracy. This is really interesting. So this is a guy opposing Putin, but his cause is not democracy, a dirty term for many here after the criminal 1990s, where a lot of corruption happened under the rubric, under the name of democracy, although that isn't, of course, real democracy. And his cause is also not a vague concept like human rights, BBC explains. It's very concrete, corruption. The real problem is corruption, and he's targeting it. And that is resonating in Russia, as you can tell. Now, NBC News explains what was in Navalny's report about Medvedev. His report alleged that one of Medvedev's estates featured a duck house built in the middle of a pond. It also painted the prime minister as a compulsive online shopper, ordering 73 t-shirts and 20 pairs of sneakers in just 3 months. So that's why a lot of people brought rubber duckies and sneakers to the protests. Now, the report showed mansion on top of mansion, and the idea was that these Russian oligarchs would buy these mansions for Medvedev through a foundation set up by his, by Medvedev's buddies. Yet another world leader setting up foundations to get goodies and staffing it with their buddies. So that was the trick. Now, protesters are, of course, irate about that because the Russian economy is now in significant trouble and a lot of people are having trouble making a living. Meanwhile, you got this guy building houses for ducks, let alone the mansions that he owns, one of which is worth $85 million, according to the report. The demonstrators noted this alleged opulence by carrying ducks and sneakers during Sunday's marches. Some also painted their faces green in solidarity with Navalny after unidentified attackers threw green antiseptic at him last week. The substance takes days to wash off, and Navalny has been sporting a green face for some time. Man, let's pause here to, one, talk about how strong and brave those Russian protesters are. In an era of Putin, where God knows what could happen to people who oppose the Putin government, and a lot have been assassinated recently, and so have reporters covering it. For the reporters to cover it, obviously state-run television is totally in the tank for Putin. They almost didn't cover it at all, but newspapers did, for the protesters themselves, and then for Navalny to oppose this Putin government and then to go into jail, let's hope he makes it out alive. But that is some significant, massive courage. Okay, now, talking about how Navalny is right overall about corruption, Medvedev's case is one that has to be proven still, if he's ever charged. My guess is that Putin is not looking forward to charging his number two man. Anyway, Transparency International, a non-governmental organization that monitors corruption, ranks Russia 131st out of 176 countries on its corruption perception index. So there is massive, rampant corruption in the Russian government. Now back to the Huffington Post. Russian government agencies and officials have faced widespread corruption allegations in recent years. The Panama Papers leaks last year suggest that Russian President Vladimir Putin and his family were connected to offshore holdings and loans worth at least $2 billion through friends and intermediary companies. Now that did not hurt his rankings back then because the Russian economy was improving. But now when people are having trouble getting a job, and you're sitting on at least $2 billion according to just the Panama Papers, and your number two is running around ordering 73 shirts at a time, then people are going to start to get pissed. And that's the situation we're in today. Hence, the demonstration is on Sunday, were notable for a number of reasons, including the seemingly large percentage of younger protesters and the willingness of participants to show up despite authorities' warnings that they lacked a permit. That is Russian for "we will beat you and arrest you." Okay. These were very, now back to the BBC, these were very young Russians who have grown up under Vladimir Putin on a diet of patriotism, but on Sunday they joined a crowd chanting "Putin thief and Russia will be free." Wow. So guess why? Why is all of the, not all of them, but a lot of the protesters young? Because they're getting their news from social media. Navalny's report on Medvedev's corruption on YouTube got 13 million views. State TV is not covering it at all. The older generation is asleep, kind of like here in the US. The younger generation has the information and is justifiably angry about it and is doing something patriotic by protesting. Now, the liberal radio station Echo of Moscow estimated that 60,000 turned out across the country, with 10,000 apiece in Moscow and St. Petersburg alone. The bulk of the attendees were teens and people aged in their early 20s. Oh, I love the young. They get their news from social media, and yes, online, oftentimes not blocked by the state or by the government, you're going to get better information. I know everybody's worried about the epidemic of fake news, some of which was launched by the Russian government, but a lot of what the governments say, either against each other or on behalf of themselves, is fake to begin with. The Pentagon here in America claims they've never told a lie. And CNN and the rest of the mainstream media, of course, the Republicans say this, the Democrats say that, the Pentagon says this, the US government says that, never question. How often do you hear on CNN the Pentagon is lying? Over there in Russia, state television run by Putin. Oh, of course, what protests? I don't see any protests. Putin is once again correct, and he wrestled the bear the other day, and he won, and he scored 13 goals in a hockey game. It might have been more. The hockey game is actually true. The idiot goes around like his old ass man shooting pucks like this, and the Russian national team stands aside and lets it go in the goal, and the Russian television is like, wonderful, he is better than even our top athletes. That's the crap that's on TV. That's why the young aren't buying it, whether it's in Russia or the US. They're actually seeing the reality online. So now the reality is, officers use tear gas and physically beat protesters, including women and younger teenagers. Pictures also showed some of the demonstrators being dragged away across asphalt, but they came out anyway. Back to Huffington Post, the Kremlin has tried to downplay the rallies by claiming that some protesters were paid to attend, while state-run government television has barely covered them. Okay, now despite the fact that television continues to lie about the protests in Russia, Alexei Navalny says anyway, quote, there are millions of us and we're not going anywhere. Now that right there is a brave Russian patriot that cares about the country, at least in regards to this investigation and bringing real transparency to corruption. Some in Russia, certainly in the Russian government and certainly in Russian television care a lot more about their own gain and their pocketbooks. There are a lot of people in Russia who believe in resistance and who believe that there can be a better Russia free of corruption. I too believe. Young Turks.